Pentecost, sorry, Pentecost is Monday, Thursday evening, comes to us from our Old Testament reading from Exodus chapter 24, especially verse 8, which says, "And Moses took the blood and threw it on the people and said, 'Behold, the blood of the covenant that the Lord has made with you, in accordance with all of these words.' Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As we just heard, when the first covenant was sealed, it was sealed with blood. And this was nothing unusual. Almost all covenants at this time were sealed with blood. And so here we find yet another covenant sealed with that blood. Yes, Moses brought down from the mountain what we often call the Ten Commandments, along with all of the rest of the instructions that God had given. Indeed, God gave all these words to show the people that would be part of the covenant relationship with Him exactly what life with Him was to look like. And after He brought these things down, the sacrifice, we are told, was offered. And the blood from the sacrifice was captured into bowls. Half of that blood was thrown upon the altar. And then all the rare words of the covenant were read. And then Moses took the rest of that blood, the other half, and he threw it upon the people. Now the King James and a couple other English translations say that Moses sprinkled the blood upon the altar and upon the people. But when you really look at the word in the Hebrew that is there, it's actually a word that specifically refers to throwing a large amount of something as opposed to sprinkling a tiny amount. So perhaps these translations were simply trying to clean up the story a little bit for our modern sensibilities. After all, I doubt any of us here would relish the thought of having a large amount of blood thrown upon them. That's exactly what happened with Moses and the people. And while they were certainly more comfortable being around blood than you and I are, since they were so used to the sacrificial system, there still is no doubt in my mind that this was a very memorable experience for them. Yet, when this holy covenant with God was made, they were covered in the blood of the sacrificed animal. They were covered in the blood of the sacrifice, and the covenant was sealed between God and His people. And this is important, to realize the amount of blood used, because this covenant was not in some way to sprinkle their lives with change, but rather it was to cover their lives on the whole. This was a whole new way of life they were entering into. As we come tonight to Monday, Thursday, and we read of Jesus picking up the Passover cup and saying these words, "This is the blood of the new covenant," we must keep all that happened back in Exodus in our mind. For you see, on Monday, Thursday, Jesus was not only instituting a new meal, but He was also sealing a new covenant between God and His people. For you see, we are told the old covenant had been broken by the stubborn rebellion of God's people from generation to generation. But now a new covenant had come, a covenant marked by the forgiveness of sins and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But this covenant, though it was a new covenant, was sealed in the same old way as all the rest before them. It was sealed with blood. In the first covenant, blood was thrown upon the people. In the second covenant, blood is poured into the people, you and I included. did my vicarage year up in Wisconsin, the pastor that I worked with up there had two communion sets that he took to take communion to our various shut-ins. One was a very typical set for that kind of thing, which had these small individual cups, like many churches use on Sunday morning. His other set, though, was one that had been handmade for him, and in that one there was a smaller, common cup, not as big as the one we'll use tonight, but still much larger than those individual cups in the other set. One of my most memorable shut-ins from my time there in Wisconsin was an old German man named Carl Stickenberger. And every time, early on in the vicarage, when I would go with the pastor to give him communion as I was learning the ropes, Carl would look at Pastor and say, "Pastor, did you bring the big cup?" I must say that Carl was a character who often asked me if I wanted to share a beer with him while I gave him the Lord's Supper. So I can't quite say that his love of the big cup was as sacred as I might have wanted it to be. But that comment has always stuck with me. While there's certainly nothing that invalidates the Lord's Supper, if a congregation chooses to use the individual cup, as most of our LCMS congregations do, I must admit that I've always been pleased that we use the common cup here. And that's for a couple reasons. First, it always is a reminder to each of us that this meal is a shared meal. It is one that we take together, and it is one that brings us together even as we take it. But secondly, and most importantly for tonight, I've always liked the common cup because I always like to get a full drink of the wine at the Lord's Supper. I hope you'll trust me that my reasoning for this is a little more sacred than perhaps Carl was. It just always seems to me that if I am being told and believe that the blood of my Lord Jesus is at this meal and that that blood can give me forgiveness, life, and salvation, I don't just want a sprinkle of that, but a drink that covers my entire throat. Yes, once again, we will admit that to our modern sensibilities, the idea of drinking blood is not initially appetizing. But we Christians understand that to drink the blood of Jesus is to have life. Last Sunday, when the ladies gathered for the LWML Spring Rally, we read John 6, where Jesus says, "Anyone who does not drink the blood of the Son of Man has no life in them." And so with this understanding, we are proud to stand with the early Christians who were accused of being cannibals because they always came out of their worship time talking about eating flesh and drinking blood. We are proud to be thought a little off for rejoicing in the fact that we are blessed enough to do as they did, to drink his blood and to eat his flesh. For once we have the blood of the covenant poured inside of us, we know that we have the new life that comes with that covenant as well. We have the forgiveness of our sins and the promise of a new heaven and a new earth. We leave the table with the desire to do all the things that God has instructed us to do. And we leave not only with the desire, but also the ability to do these things. For Jesus says when we eat his body, when we drink his blood, he abides with us. He goes with us everywhere we go. He is there to will and to do the good works that we have been called to. Indeed, at this meal, we receive all of this. For at this meal, God reminds us that he is our God and we are his people. During the season of Lent, our sin is constantly brought to remembrance. And tomorrow night, the focus will become even more sharp. For indeed, if we have got through this whole season of Lent without really realizing how bad our sin is, or the result of that sin, tomorrow night the battered and bloody corpus of our Lord will hopefully waken us from our sleep. Thanks be to God. Whenever that happens, whenever our sin is exposed, whether it's on Good Friday evening or Monday, Thursday, or whether it's just any ordinary day of the week, we know that when our sin is exposed, there is always the call to return to the table of our Lord. Yes, every time our sin is exposed, we are called back to that table that was first made holy on that Thursday night before our Lord Jesus died. We are called back to that place where those sins that could threaten to remove us from the covenant we have been blessed to live in with God since our baptism, where those sins can be removed, where they can be taken care of once and for all, so that we can continue in that relationship with God. Yes, each time that it is exposed, we are called as the Old Testament elders were called to do. That day when they first received the first covenant, which was sealed in blood. When our sin is exposed, we, like they, are called to behold God, to eat and to drink. Yes, indeed. We are blessed again this night to receive the blood of that new covenant, that blood which gives to us the forgiveness of all of our sins. So today, join Carl in asking, Pastor, did you bring the big cup today? Ask it not because you want a big gulp of Mogan David, but because you want your whole throat covered in the life-giving blood of the Lamb. Forget about your modern sensibilities about having blood placed on you or in you. And tonight, simply receive it with joy. For this blood is not the kind that stains, but the kind that cleanses. It is not the kind that contaminates, but rather the kind that purifies. It is not the kind of blood that threatens death, but the kind that delivers life. Yes, during the first covenant, the blood of that covenant was thrown upon the people of God. Today, the blood of the new covenant is poured into your mouth. God is your God, and you are his people. Your sins are forgiven, and the Holy Spirit is yours. You have tonight a chance to be covered in the blood of the sacrifice and to receive all the blessings of doing so. For he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Blessed are we this night to receive it. Amen.